Yes.
I'm going to call to order the June 2017 Prudential Committee meeting to order. Is anyone recording? Amy Cates is recording. Could I have roll call starting with the treasurer?
Treasurer Ray Perone.
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential Committee.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Stan Goldstein, Prudential.
Charlie Clark, Igor Clark.
Is there any public comment?
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. I am in receipt of Attorney Mark Boudreau's response to my open meeting complaint, and I am pondering over accepting it or not, because I do believe that meeting might have been an error. But because of another response I received from Marissa Kelly, I still haven't decided what to do about that response, and I called the Attorney General's office, and they said I had 90 days to make my decision. But I do want to bring to your attention the reason I have some concerns. This open meeting complaint was against the Union Negotiating Committee, but in her response, she references the Prudential Committee. That's why I'm bringing it to you today. She tells me that there was a meeting on December 30th, 2016 by the Prudential Committee, and in public session, they adopted a remote committee participation policy.
Correct.
I was unaware of that meeting, so I did a little investigating. We contacted the town clerk, and that meeting was never posted with the town clerk in Hyannis. So that's another meeting that happened without being properly posted. In order for us to move forward and heal, there was another statement in here she made that I'm a serial complainant. Well, the only reason I'm a serial complainant is because there's a serial of calamity of errors. And I would like the Prudential Committee tonight to discuss a way to make sure that these errors don't happen again. Set some checks and balances in place. Thank you.
Public comment is closed. Any response to public comment?
I have none.
Anyway, moving on. Do you, Lisa?
No.
Okay. Mr. Eager, would you like to continue as clerk?
Yes.
Yes, you would.
Is that wonderful salary you make?
So, could I have a motion to appoint Mr. Eager as clerk for the Catuit Fire District?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Committee organization. Could I have a nomination for chairman?
I nominate Fran Parks for the chairperson of the Prudential Committee.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And the other two are policy advisory. Mr. Goldstein, would you like to continue on that?
Lisa would like to get involved and understand, and you know, I've been done it for 2 years now, and maybe get a fresh set of eyes.
Okay. Can you tell me how many people are on that policy advisory committee?
There's
three, four.
Two representatives from the community and one member from each committee. Yeah. So water, Prudential, and fire.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a monthly?
No.
It's as you call it.
As you
call it. I've been a little remiss the past couple of years in waiting till about January, you know, or late in the year, early in the beginning of next year before I call the meetings. But it's really up to you. You can call them at any time. I'll send you a list of the people that I have.
Okay.
That are on the committee.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that. Now, does the Prudential Committee member serve as chair always, or is that an elected at the?
You just organize the first meeting.
Okay.
And then a chair is elected.
Okay. That's if you could form
chair
that.
And clerk. Yeah.
So I would nominate Lisa Mycock Kelly. Did I get that right?
Yes, she did.
Okay, as the chairperson of the Policy Advisory Committee.
Second. All those in favor, aye.
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 So, would you like to take on the bylaws?
Sure.
I think that should be, I don't believe there's going
to
be any.
I get to know the bylaws that way.
Changes in the bylaws. Okay.
Do we need to nominate me to?
I nominate Mr. Goldstein to be the bylaw committee person.
I second.
All those in favor, aye.
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 Thank you. Treasurer's report.
As we come close to the end of the year, I'm pleased to report that from an overall standpoint, revenue is slightly ahead of budget overall, and expenditure is below budget. All departments are below. However, in going through the accounts, we still have to adjust for the fact that the treasurer wasn't appointed until late, and so I've brought to the committee a proposed amendment or motion to move money from the reserve fund to the finance department to cover the treasurer contract expense, since we had the contractor for longer than was anticipated. And then a very small amount for the public buildings salary. It may or may not be needed, but since this is the last meeting, in the sake of being conservative, I suggest we move $600 to that and $22,000 to the treasury line.
I make a motion that the Prudential, any questions of the?
No questions, no.
No questions.
I make a motion that the Prudential Committee move to transfer the sum of $22,600 from the reserve account number 01120205195000 to the following accounts in the following amounts. $22,000 to the Finance Department for Treasurer Services, account number 01130020531400. $600 to the Public Buildings for salary and wages, account number 01490010516000. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. And there's one other additional item for the Treasurer's Department, which is we had made a decision last year to continue the consulting services of Mike Daly through the tax setting, which will be mid-November. And I asked Ray to look over this agreement and see what he needed the consulting services on to assist him going through his first year of municipal government. So the the consulting will be on a year-end reporting for FY17, consulting on the audit for FY17, and consulting on free cash and tax recap filings for FY2017. So the maximum cost of this agreement will be $9,000. The agreement will continue, will start upon written notice and proceed as an extension of the contract amendment existing. So, any discussion, questions?
No, I'm in favor. You feel comfortable with that, Ray?
Yeah, I think it's, we've had a change in the accounting software that we've used, and Mike was clearly running that for the first 6 months. So I think it's important that we keep him engaged for the handover, and also just to make sure that we're consistent in reporting for the public and for the auditors.
And the $9,000 in funds, did we include that in the warrant at all, or is there money around that we can use that for, get that $9,000 from?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Okay, the proposed maximum of $9,000,
yes,
for this, for this contract, where's the money coming from?
It's in the finance department budget for fiscal 18.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's already in the budget.
Okay. Yeah, so.
And I assume that that's a maximum contract,
yes,
price.
Okay. Right. It's approximately 40 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Okay. Could I have a motion to accept the agreement, to amend the agreement with Mr. Daly as per discussed?
Yeah, I'll second the motion. Make the motion, I mean.
Okay. I second. So moved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Freedom Hall scheduling. I've been working with Christina at the fire department to get that set up and get her up and running on doing the scheduling for Freedom Hall, which she will take over on the 3rd of July. And we've updated the rental agreement, as we discussed. And I think that it's going to work out well. There may be some weekends where she'll need some assistance in opening and closing for people. And I can do that some weekends, and other weekends, we can, if necessary, we can give
figure
people.
It figure it out.
Figure
yeah.
it out. Yeah.
So. Okay, great. And she's and Christina's comfortable with this?
Yes, yeah, she's comfortable with okay. it.
And so if she has to come in outside of normal working hours, how do we compensate her? Does she get like an on-call pay or?
No.
No.
No, I don't think, you know, we scheduled her for 8 hours. So per week, so that should suffice, even if she has to come in on a Saturday.
Okay, but she's an hourly employee, right?
No, she's.
Will we pay her by the hour, so she's an hourly employee.
We pay her by the hour, yes.
Yeah, I think you may want to look at that. If she's I'm trying to remember my labor laws when I was a manager, but any, just to describe it, if she's an hourly employee and she comes in after hours, at least, you know, I was charged and had in service for most of my life, they would get some kind of stipend for coming in extra hours, even if that, let's say you paid them for 32 hours a week and they only worked 30 and they had 2 hours and they got called in, they still got a call and pay.
Okay.
Just wondering if we're not violating some kind of labor law.
I don't think so. And the other thing, if for any reason she had to come in for extra hours, you always have the option with her agreement of using comp time off, or you would have to pay overtime.
And she's okay with all of this? She understands all of that?
Yes. No, I haven't talked to her about comp time, but I can.
Yeah, she needs to be really up. She needs to be, you know.
Is that approximately 8 hours a week? Is that approximately what the need is for opening and closing the?
Well, at the moment, she's going to be scheduling Freedom Hall, showing people Freedom Hall. She's also transcribing our minutes, and I hope to have her start being able to upload to the website. And in the future, not now, but we do not have a procurement officer. Mm-hmm. The district doesn't have a procurement officer, and we should have a procurement officer. And it's difficult to have an elected official do that because they change. So it would probably be worth our while to, maybe next year, consider adding that to her yeah. position. So,
and I received an email, my first email, inquiring about renting because this person was having some issues, some problems getting through to somebody to inquire if the hall was available for a given day. Do we have on the website, is there a specific scheduling email or contact number?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has it been changed? Has it been updated? Because it was Lori's number, wasn't it?
Well, it was Lori's, yeah.
It's updated, yeah, and maybe that's the problem because the website is now updated.
Yeah.
You know, my address is on it and my email address, but I brought this, I wasn't quite sure when Chris would be starting that.
At the Freedom Hall, if you go to the Freedom Hall page, which has a calendar, okay. Below that it has the requests.
Okay,
and,
okay.
It should have a new, so who is, I'll take care of that.
Yeah. 90th birthday party.
Oh, sure.
Swinging time.
Yeah, right.
The words we were looking for, I remembered, are exempt and non-exempt. Exempt employees are salaried employees, non-exempt are hourly employees. And you have to be careful how you handle either one so that we don't get bitten in later on through some misunderstanding.
Okay. All right. So, next is the recommendations of the Policy Advisory Committee.
Okay. You have a copy of that, right? Yeah, I only brought one copy with me, but it's exactly as, you know. Okay, I can make other copies and get them out to folks, but should I read them?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so the Policy Advisory Committee met several times, and in April made the following recommendations to the Prudential Committee. Number one, and these are not in any particular order, but we did rank them as far as importance is concerned. Number one, determine if transcriptions of meetings are satisfactory instead of minutes, because we had gotten into some issues there. Number two, review, update, and originate job descriptions for all district employees and elected officials. Oh, yeah, and the importance of those two were rated high by the committee. Three, review incidents requiring police assistance and to possibly justify increasing patrols. This was, I'm personally responsible for this, and I had interviewed Jessica Grassetti, and she said this was one of the, she had gotten a couple of inquiries about this. So I mean, you know, nobody's saying that we're in the middle of a crime spree here, but I guess some people have brought it up, and the committee indicated that maybe we should go to the chief, McDonald, is it?
Well.
Yeah, and just ask him what his feelings are about that. See if we can get some more patrols or whatever.
I believe the Civic Association already does that.
Yeah.
Contacts the chief.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So should we bring this up to the Civic Association then?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You know, but it's something that I believe they have a committee on it, or at least a representative that deals with that.
Okay. I'll bird dog that. Number four, encourage the use of absentee ballots for voters who are unable to cast ballots during voting hours by alerting district voters to their existence and the process to obtain one, thereby increasing voter participation. There was also, I don't think that these words indicate the fact that the absentee ballots need to be available to after hours, because people that are working can't get to an office, to some, you know, official during working hours.
Charlie?
After hours, I don't think there's any state place where you get an absentee ballot after hours.
Well, we're not state, we're in fire district. So is there any, right. if we made, let's say, for 1 month, or however, whenever absentee ballots first come available, like once a week from the hours from 7 to 8 or 6 to 7 or something like that, that we designate some place and somebody where absentee ballots can be picked up? Is there?
The only one you would be the firefighters, and you're under contract with them.
I don't think they do that.
Willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. So. How can we handle that? We need to think outside the box.
Well, I think that, you know, we need to, you know, there's only so much you can do, honestly, to encourage people to vote. I mean, in the past, as Lori has stated, you know, cards have been sent out to everyone to remind them of, you know, voting and to write them of the annual meeting, and, you know, there's not much of a response. We certainly can, you know, I'd like to see the website redesigned and, you know, have this, you know, voting, when it comes voting time, have that put prominently on the website.
Yeah, it's a header.
And maybe, send it to the newspapers to, you know, let them know that the absentee ballots are available. But I don't think, you know, we can't download them and, you know, from the website. Cause
yeah, there's obviously some kind of official, what's the procedure? If I were to come to you and say I want an absentee ballot, what's the procedure? Mm-hmm.
Once you fill that out, then you get an absentee ballot.
Do you have to check the voting rolls in order to issue the absentee ballot? No.
They get checked when they get recorded
at the voting.
Okay.
So, and there were about 20 absentee ballots this year.
Yeah.
More than usual.
Can it be done by mail?
They can.
A written request?
And
that would solve an after-hours issue. I know it adds a little more burden on the voter, but.
Okay, so it could be requested by mail or redesign the website. Okay, so I mean, the two things I got from that discussion are perhaps redesign the website to announce, to make sure that absentee ballots, you know, voting is coming up, absentee ballots are available, and how to go ahead, how to go about it, or to request it by mail.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was the medium. Number five, convene a committee to review the district governance and make recommendations to increase government efficiency through consolidation of the three commissions, and that was rated high. And a number of people have come up with this. I introduced it to the Policy Advisory Committee, and it was discussed, and we decided that we thought we should look at that. But this is something that we really need, you know, requires a lot of work and a lot of investigation. Yeah. And you know, how, in other words, what are the current laws governing it, and the bylaws, the enabling laws, I think you call it, or?
Yes.
Okay.
This would have to go to, as far as I understand, I may not have the order correct, but I believe I do. First of all, it would have to go to an annual meeting to vote to accept it. Then it would have to go to one of our legislatures so that the...
General court.
Yeah, the general court, so that the enabling legislation can be amended. Then it has to come back to another annual meeting to approve the amendment to the enabling legislation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... So the first step, I think, is convening a committee to review district governance and investigate whether we really want to go ahead with it, because it's a, as you just described it, it's a multi-step process.
Yeah.
Any, your feeling, Lisa's feeling? Clark?
Has this been pursued, has this been looked into in the past in any depth? I mean,
no. No, not to my knowledge. Okay. You know, it's been, you know, suggested multiple times, but you know.
Yeah, and Jessica was. I brought this up to Jessica, and she thought it was a good idea, but you know, it's not to be taken lightly, because the water commissioners and the fire commissioners, on occasion, do a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
So the people that will replace them effectively are going to have to become familiar with policies and procedures and business, and the business of the fire commissioners and the water commissioners. Mm-hmm. Effectively, so this is not. I mean, you know, I know what the stuff that they, you know, when you're just going through union contracts is sort of a heavy lift, and then all the stuff that they've been doing around here with taking down water tanks, putting up water tanks, mm-hmm. the cell towers, and you know, there's a lot of work that they're doing.
And just. I'm not a fan of consolidation.
How
I think
come?
I just think that the more people involved, I mean, it's a messier process and it usually takes longer, but I just think it's better than just constantly you know, making the people that make the governing decisions smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm just not a fan of that.
Lisa, you're
I hadn't thought too much about it, to be honest with you, so I don't particularly have an opinion one way or the other. I agree that, you know, obviously water goes through spurts where there's a lot on their plate. The fire commissioners are always somewhat busy because there's always something being negotiated, as far as I can tell. And I don't know whether we have the resources as far as individuals who would be willing to serve and undertake that magnitude of work.
Yeah.
Without significant change.
Because whatever happens, you'd have the Prudential Committee responsibilities, a couple of two or three people might be, you know, responsibilities for the water, and then there may be some overlap of two or three for the fire. And so, you know, it's those people would almost be like a town, you know, like a mini town manager group.
Yeah.
I guess that's the words I'd use. Village manager. Don't want to use the word town, right? Village.
Village. District.
District.
So where do we go from here? Do we want to drop it? Do we want to have a committee look at it further, or?
Well, I think we can certainly have a committee look at it. I think we need to spend some time deciding who's going to be on the committee, and certainly somebody with some legislative familiarity would be important, so I'd have to think about that, you know. But I think you know, probably a committee of 3 to 5 people, a subcommittee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's, so you know, I get the feeling that we're not terribly in favor of it, but let's look at it and see where we want to go. And, you know, we'll look at a committee with I think 5 people is good. And we can, I guess, start canvassing people to find out who would want to do that. Because, again, even that is a heavy lift, because then you got to just get familiar with all the enabling laws and what would be, you know, process and procedure to go through, even before you make a decision if you want to do it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll work with you on that. Okay.
Do we have any other districts looked into that? Do we know?
You know, I think, West Barnstable just has the Prudential Committee, and they have a water committee, right. But they don't have any water, so they just meet once a year, and, you know. Hyannis, I believe, they have fire commissioners, Prudential, and water. No, they don't have water because they don't have any water. Yeah. So it's all an array of different, you know, different makeup.
When I said I'd work, I noticed that look on your face. I mean, as far as just rounding up people, you know, and get some suggestions as far as forming a committee. Okay, number 6, finalized plans for the district-owned building located at 56 High Street, and that was rated as high. We're really effectively working towards that.
Well, I've gotten one price for demolishing the building, and the reason we should demolish it is because of it's an attractive nuisance. And the septic system needs to be shut down. Otherwise, we'll lose it and have to replace it. So it needs to be cleaned and shut down. After July 1st, I can start the process of going to the Historical Commission, because that has to be done to get permission to tear it down from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to be a couple of months anyway. And then... we also need to contract with someone to do the needs assessment to see what size building that we're going to need, and the use of the current use of the buildings that we do have before we can go any further with High Street. But
I would suggest that anything that we do that involves construction or deconstruction, that we take great effort to notify the people in the village so that they're completely aware of it, so they don't get don't get blindsided. Maybe be going before the civic association. Even that doesn't necessarily mean people of the village, because what happened with the solar farm, they had numerous meetings, commission meetings, an open meeting before the Civic Association, and they still got, blindsided with a lot of people that were against it. So we need to make sure. And when you had asked me to follow up with the, what do we need to do with the building? You know, how do we need to go about it? And I called this woman at the building department, mm-hmm. and she said herself, make nice to the surrounding, especially the people that are mm-hmm. close to it. And let them know exactly what's happening before you do anything. Okay, so we're cool with that. 7, district clerk to regularly review open meeting law changes and disseminate changes to district officials. It's a medium thing. Is that something you do or can do?
Yeah, but any of the changes would be on the secretary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The last change was 2016.
Okay, but could we make it your responsibility to say, hey guys, men and women, there's a change, and let all the 9 commissioners know right now?
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the clerk will take care of that. The cross-utilization of district administrative resources to improve governmental efficiency, medium, you know, we had, and I think we're beginning to do that, but we had somebody at the water department, we had Jen at the water department, and we had another administrative person in the fire department, and I think we're beginning to do that, especially like with the Freedom Hall
right.
stuff,
mm-hmm.
But I think we should make it known to the committee members, the water commissioners and the fire commissioners, that while their primary duty is to their particular department, they're still district employees and we should be able to cross-utilize them.
I don't think there's, you know, really much cross-utilization between the fire department, fire employees and the water employees, especially since the fire employees are union.
Yeah. But Christine, Chris, the administrative person, is she union or something?
No, she's not union. Okay, Christina, so. No.
Not involved there. Let me ask Cindy. So you raised your hand, Cindy. What did you have? She was on the policy advisory committee.
I think Cynthia Gardner, member of the policy advisory committee. I think there's a little misunderstanding about what the policy advisory committee meant by that recommendation and what's currently going on. The policy advisory committee wanted us to look into using these employees, not using these employees and then creating new positions. So right now we have Jen at the water department picking up extra duties, but she's not doing them during her regular time. She's getting paid extra money for that. And we now have Christine picking up extra 8 hours a week, but being paid by the Prudential Committee. So it's really not cross-utilizing employees.
Well, I don't know how you would get somebody to do the Freedom Hall job if you didn't have an extra 8 hours and make a position of it. You know, she's got other duties that she has to do.
And I understand that, and I'm not saying I'm in favor of this, but that's what they want us to look at that and see if it's an option, not just increase hours.
Yeah.
That sort of took away from the purpose of what the other members of the committee
wanted. Oh, so let me rephrase what I heard you say. I think what you're trying to say is that your feeling is, or the Prudential Committee's the Policy Advisory Committee's feeling was that the current administrative employees of the respective departments could do these duties under their current. Okay, so that's what you're saying, rather than paying them extra hours to do these duties. Okay, yeah, all right. I understand. I'm not sure what else to say. There's a point to be made there, but I'm not really sure if the hours that they're currently working, being paid for, don't occupy most of the time. So I'm not sure.
Additional duties.
Yeah.
Require additional time.
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. Any suggestions there? You know, as far as which way we want to go there? I mean, do we want to look ask the water commissioners and the fire commissioners, or Chris and the chief? When I say Chris, I mean Chris. There's Water Soup, and the new chief of the fire chief Rule Paul Rule is it?
Mm-hmm.
Can these employees do these functions without extra hours?
I think that's not our problem because, you know, Christine's already been told that she has the extra hours.
Yeah, okay. And, well, let's look at it going down the road. Let's see how it works, and we'll just, you know, ping them every now and then just to see what the story is. Number nine, this is a medium importance. Improve business processes in the district to address recommendations of the auditors. This is something that I put there, and we always get as far as the audit is concerned, every year we get a low level ding, and it has to do with income and how to sending out bills and taking in the income from the water department. If you have the same person there, it's effectively a violation of proper practices, as if you will. It could be open to manipulation. So, I mean, do we want? I personally don't have any issues with that. But do we want to look at that? And For instance, is there any way that
geographical distances make that kind of cooperation extremely difficult?
Mm-hmm.
Segregation of duties. I've read the reports, and it's a very standard kind of issue in any small organization. But to get the separation of duties that the auditors would like with our physical dispersal of people is very difficult.
So what you're trying to say is if Jen sends out the bills and let's say, for instance, Tony collects the money, that would be a hardship?
Yeah. It would take a great deal of reorganization of the way you're currently structured.
Yeah, I know they keep
and it would then get into, as was pointed out, additional duties means additional hours.
Yeah. I know we keep getting dinged, but the auditors don't make a big point of it. They say, as it's been in the past, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah. And it certainly hasn't affected our credit rating or any.
It's desirable in any case, but it's not an imperative.
Okay, so why don't we just let that go by the boards? What's the feeling of you guys?
Well, I think the chance when Sherry retired and the position was filled with Jen, the chance was lost at that point to address this issue. So I think we're just going to have to, go with what we've got.
Okay. So as far as number 9 is concerned, we'll go with what exists.
Yeah.
And the last one, a review and revise the Ketua Fire District booklet and post on a district website, and that has a low priority.
Well, I have a copy of the revised booklet, and that Marge Wallace and Mimi McConnell worked on, and I'm going to be talking to the Civic Association about seeing if they can publish it and also put it on the website.
Okay, cool. How does that sound to you? Because I know that you were...
So can I go back to number 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's been determined that the transcriptions aren't allowable per the open meeting law. They supersede the Secretary of State, who thought they were okay. And the review and update job descriptions is being done for... It's pretty much completed for the water employees. We have an up-to-date job description for the custodian here. New job description has been filed for Christine, for Chris. And the elected officials, I think that...
Fragamira.
No. I think it would be useful to... For each committee to do a handbook of the duties of the committee that expands on the bare bones explanations that are in the bylaws. I think policy handbooks are always useful. Pardon me. And I wanted to add one other thing to this. I think it would be helpful when it comes around to election time again, when people are starting to take out papers, if we could provide them with a packet that included all the information about reporting to the state, about their election costs, and just something more in depth about, the things that they need to do if they're going to run. So,
I agree with that. It's not easy to find the information.
No, it's not.
Even with Google, who I rely on heavily. And I think a lot of the times it's not that people, more than happy to comply with the filing rules, just don't know what they are or where to go for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just pointed me and said, go to the in Hyannis and
yeah.
The clerk can pick, was the clerk? The clerk can pick it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Carol, is it? Is that your name?
Carol.
Carol, yeah. Did you want, public comment was closed earlier, but you had a request to me, so I just want to make sure we address that after we're finished with this, before we close the meeting, adjourn the meeting. Okay, so we pretty much covered this, 1 through 10.
Okay.
People, okay.
So before we do the minutes, the town of Barstool came to inspect Freedom Hall today. And we need some batteries replaced in the emergency lights and the exit signs. And apparently nobody had ever inspected the cellar before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't on the list of habitable, usable space in the building. So I took him downstairs.
Well, it wasn't before you fixed it.
Yeah, well. So we need to have some railings put on the stairwells in the back. We need to provide a four-foot path for people to walk out on. So the two choices are either go along the side of the building where there aren't any lights, and then when we get closer to the front, we're going to have to chop down a rhododendron. Or the other choice would be to chop down some of Mr. Serotoni's rhododendrons because it has to be 4 feet wide. I don't think he wants his rhodies.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, his rhodies chopped down. So we have a couple of weeks to get that accomplished, and so there will be an electrician's bill for that and a carpentry bill for putting in the handrails.
For the rhodo out front, I don't remember the size, but things can be moved. You can trim it, you can prune it and move it.
And not the best time you had to do that.
I mean, those things are very valuable.
Right.
Work rather than chop it down, sell it one way or the other. You know,
I don't want to chop it down. I'm cut it back and bring my ruler.
Okay.
We've gotten a notice that Mr. Starr next door, Kevin Starr, is going to be doing some work on the Harborview. He's going to demolish and reconstruct the southeast portion of the house wing with a 2-foot addition and replacement of deck and rear stone entrance and stairs with timber decking. And that's going to be, the public hearing's going to be held on that June 27th, tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Marstable Town Hall, if anybody cares to go.
Where is this house?
Right there.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that going to affect us materially in any way, or we're just being informed about it?
We're just being informed because we're in a butter.
Okay.
So, and did you get a chance to read the minutes?
I did. Yeah,
I did.
Fine with me.
Okay. So I'll accept a motion to approve the minutes of May 1st, 2017, May 11th, 2017, May 22nd, 2017, and June 8th, 2017.
So moved.
All those in second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. What I would like to do is just invite Carol to, she works, so she's not able to get here like at 5 o'clock. She has a question for the committee. So with your permission, Chairperson, if you would, Carol, if you had something you wanted to say to the. Okay.
Carol Zaisk, 86 Putnam Avenue. It was just a request to see if you guys could move your meeting dates either occasionally or whatever to a later time for those of us to come or allow public comment at the end, like you did now. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Certainly. I would go with it, that I'm in favor of that. We always complain that we don't get a lot of people coming here, and we may not get hordes of people coming if we move the meeting to 6:30 or 7, but we may get a couple more, and that would, if we get a couple more, that'd be a 50% increase.
I have no problem with a later meeting.
Yeah, I don't either, most of the time.
Yeah.
I know you. There was an issue. Do you do shift work?
No.
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 Okay.
No.
Anymore? Let's put that under advisement.
Okay.
Yeah, so that we can see if we can get more participation from the people in the town.
So I'm willing to do it for 6 o'clock for a while, but I think if it doesn't bear fruit, then I'd like to go back to the 5 o'clock. It's just
okay with
easier
me. So,
easier time for me.
So ladies and gentlemen, pound the pavement and invite your friends.
So from here, our next meeting will be at 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I'll change it in my calendar if I remember.
So anything else?
We don't get dinged if we show up early, do we?
So I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye. I don't normally go there till Friday morning because sometimes all the warrants aren't there until late on Thursday.